You're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 13th of June, 2015. Welcome to the show. My name's Hereward Fenton. Today we're going to be talking about vaccines, and we're going to be talking about a nationwide protest against Australia's new draconian vaccine laws. Now, those listening overseas may not be aware of just how far Australia has fallen into the truly totalitarian paradigm of compulsory vaccination. But we have gone a long way, folks. It's not compulsory to the extent that they will put a gun to your head and force you, but they will do so financially. And indeed, in our current world, financial threats are almost as serious as an actual gun to the head. The Australian government, led by Tony Abbott, Australia's Conservative government, brought in changes to legislation to remove various exemptions from the vaccine schedule, which had allowed parents to avoid getting vaccines and still receive the very important government tax benefits. Now, bear in mind that Australia's taxation rate is one of the highest in the world, and the family tax benefits are really not just nice to have, they are essential. If a family who is a typical family working and trying to support several children doesn't get those tax benefits, life becomes pretty well impossible. So the fact is that the government in Australia now has decided to revoke the exemptions that allowed families to still get the tax benefit while claiming to be conscientious objectors or objecting on religious grounds. The only grounds that are now accepted for vaccine non-compliance are medical grounds, and that would mean that you'd have to prove that your child has some medical condition that makes vaccines dangerous for them. Now, of course, as we know, vaccines are dangerous for everyone. Of course, we can argue till the cows come home about the level of danger, but to say that vaccines are not dangerous, it would be like saying cars are not dangerous. Of course, we don't generally fear getting into a car and driving down to the shops to buy some milk, right? We see that as a fairly safe thing to do. But, you know, thousands of people are killed every year in cars doing simple things just like that, just driving down the road. So we know cars are dangerous. Now, for some reason, we don't collectively seem to know that vaccines are dangerous. And there is a very good reason for it. It is because of deliberate propaganda, deliberate PR, deliberate pulling the wool over the eyes of the populations of the West and all the entire world by very, very powerful companies that have assets in the trillions of dollars that control and own these markets and control our behavior. It is really almost a feudal relationship that these mega corporations have with the average person. We are simply their vassals, their property. And of course, they make money out of us at the same time. So it's not quite like the old feudal arrangement where the peasants were just slaving in the fields. We're actually working, making money, spending that money and giving it back to our owners. Anyway, that's a whole other track. I won't go down that one, but I just want to emphasize the fact that the grid, the power grid of control of the pharmaceutical industry is so huge that it owns governments. It owns large chunks of the economy. It can control media. It can influence everything that we think. And we have to struggle. We have to really, really work hard to counteract the effects of this propaganda and the control that these organizations exert. Now, of course, in the United States, I'll just read to you an article here, that quite a recent article by a US attorney, which goes into a lot of the details about the real issues of vaccines and the real balance of opinions on both sides of the argument. But I just want to read to you two key paragraphs from this article. The problem worsened in 1986. Before that date, vaccine liability had always been decided according to state law, regardless of which court the case was brought in. In 1986, Congress federalized all vaccine liability claims. A law was passed requiring that all claims for vaccine harm go to a special vaccine court, where there was and is no jury and no pretrial discovery. The statute of limitations is tricky and short, and the burden to prove a specific vaccination harmed a child is arbitrarily difficult. Vaccine makers are shielded against general liability and even for badly designing a vaccine. Claims are paid out of a fund built up with a tax on each vaccine dose sold. Remember that. In the US, the vaccine court which pays out is actually funded by the taxpayer. So you're paying in the end. You're paying for everything. You're paying for all these compensation claims on people who've been injured by a vaccine that they were told was totally safe, and that they're often told they're required to have. All this has led the vaccine makers to become reckless, to do insufficient testing of vaccines, and to industrialize the vaccine business. Before 1986, vaccination had been a technology aimed at the most deadly and contagious diseases. Vaccines were to be put into use only after careful testing. Vaccines were and are needed when a potentially fatal disease progresses so fast the body cannot respond before death occurs. Because adverse reactions are inevitable, vaccines should not be used to prevent diseases which are rarely fatal. However, vaccine makers, newly exempt from all liability, turned necessary vaccination against the most deadly diseases into a mass production money machine targeted against any and every conceivable disease. Now, it's very important to understand this kind of turning point that happened in the vaccine industry. And since then, we've seen the rollout of dozens of new vaccines. There's been just a bandwagon, a fanfare, a circus of vaccines that have come out. And it's all making tremendous amounts of money for the big players in this business. And they've teamed up with governments to make themselves immune from prosecution. Now, in Australia, we don't even have a vaccine court. In Australia, honestly, it is so terrible. It is so wicked what has happened. We really have nowhere to turn. This despite the fact that the numbers of injuries from vaccines keep going up from different angles. You can see it. Just Gardasil alone. A recent story came out. It was in the Daily Mail and on the Express. I've got it here. Tens of thousands of teen girls suffer serious illness after HPV cervical cancer jab. Tens of thousands of teenage girls have fallen seriously ill and been left wheelchair bound after taking the routine cervical cancer vaccination. This number is estimated to be only 10% of the true number of teens struck down with severe side effects after taking the vaccine. The jab has been routinely administered to 12-year-old and 13-year-old girls in Britain since 2008. The injection blocks the sexually transmitted human papillomavirus, which, so they say, leads to cervical cancer cases. Now, there are so many aspects to this that have been discussed that, you know, this vaccine has been given to young children, and HPV is a sexually transmitted disease. The time span between the vaccine and potentially contracting the illness is potentially decades. It is impossible to really confirm the efficacy of a vaccine over such a span of time. There hasn't been time to have collected any data on it. And that coupled with the fact that there are so many reports of adverse reactions, but, you know, we're just being steamrolled into it. It's now on the schedule. Children are expected to get it, and they're now saying boys should get it too, not just girls. But back to Australia, because that's what we are here to talk about today. Because of the latest turn of events in Australia with these new changes to legislation, we really have entered a dark period of Australian history. And, you know, my biggest struggle with it is that so many people who I know, so many people who I have contact with, who I've known for many years, can't seem to see the problem. They just shrug their shoulders and, you know, when I talk about it as an existential issue, as a serious descent into tyranny in this country, I know what you're going on about, you know, it's not that bad, don't you trust science? You get this kind of this apologia from people, and, you know, I see what it is. I see that there is a hint of awareness in them. They do understand, really. But it is so uncomfortable to try and work yourself up out of the deep comfort and slumber of just not giving a stuff, you know, of basically just accepting the status quo, letting the nanny state manage things. It is just so difficult to kind of shake yourself out of that comfortable slumber that people just find pathetic justifications for not looking at it. But next week, folks, around Australia, there is going to be a protest. And let's hope it's a significant one. And I will be hoping to get some reports that we can put onto this show. I don't expect it to be huge, to be honest, because I know how brainwashed people are. I know how comfortable people are. I know how reluctant people are. People are enchained, enslaved. People are fearful of saying anything against government policy. People are very fearful of not being able to pay next month's mortgage. And anything that would jeopardize their lives, anything that would involve going against the government on a significant issue, could jeopardize their lives, their income, their job, and could threaten that all-important mortgage payment next month. Really, that's what it comes down to. Now, I'm getting someone on the show within this hour to talk about this. Her name is Bronwyn Hancock, and she is the organizer of this protest. So do stay tuned. We'll be having her on very soon. Be right back after this short break. Truth News Radio Australia, and today we're all about vaccines. And I will be getting Bronwyn Hancock on shortly to talk about the Australia-wide protest against the draconian, outrageous, totalitarian new laws which have been brought in by the Australian New World Order regime led by Tony Abbott. Now, I want to just read you an article here from No Compulsory Vaccination. com. This is a website run by another vaccine activist from Australia by the name of Meryl Dory. This is actually a blog post by Tasha David. I just think it's a nice little written little article, and it can convey more than simply talking about facts and arguing, you know, what's safe and what's not, talking about the reality of being a vaccine conscientious objector. There is nothing trendy about not vaccinating your child. Not vaccinating your child is not something you take lightly as a parent. The bombardment of vaccine propaganda in your face is everywhere you look, and some are scared to even let others know that they don't vaccinate because they don't want their children to face the stigma of going against the crowd. Going to the doctors can be a battleground where you are berated and belittled for not conforming to the status quo. The simple act of going to the emergency room because your child broke their arm always starts with a question. Is your child up to date on their immunizations? And you think to yourself, here we go again. So there really is nothing trendy about not vaccinating your child. But do you want to know what is really trendy right now? It is the demonizing and current witch hunt against parents who choose not to vaccinate their children. The world has become a bully's wonderland right now. You can harass and be hateful towards anti-vax parents, and no one will even consider it to be bullying. You can tell them how crap they are as parents. You can tell them to go and take their disease-ridden brats away from your fully vaccinated children. You can tell them how stupid they are. Stupid, selfish, moronic, irresponsible, tinfoil hat-wearing, rabid anti-vaxxers who are child abusers and whose children should be taken away from them. You can even tell them you hope that they and their children die to clean out the stupid from the gene pool. No one will even pull you up for those cruel and despicable comments, because anti-vaxxers deserve it, right? Wrong. No loving parent, and especially their children, deserves to be treated like lepers and outcasts. Whether they vaccinate or not is irrelevant. And frankly, I am astounded at the hate speech that has been allowed to flow freely since the Disneyland measles outbreak. For example, jail anti-vax parents. Measles can kill and it's spreading. Sue parents who didn't vaccinate. You cannot shame a parent into harming their child. And yet, that is what you're asking us, especially the parents of vaccine-injured children, to do. All the bullying, vilifying, suing, incarcerating, or completely illegally making their names and addresses publicly available to the world will not change a thing. Let's get one thing straight. I do not choose to inject pharmaceutical products into my children's bodies anymore because vaccines hurt them and cause not just a week of hell, but a lifetime of hellish changes. I don't blame others for my children's health issues. I realize that we are all just trying to do the best we can for our children. Anyway, I am too busy trying to heal my children's bodies to run around pointing fingers. My choice to not be informed about what I was injecting into my babies caused them numerous health issues and robbed three of my children of ever being able to live an independent life, of being able to fall in love or able to have a family of their own. And those facts will haunt me for the rest of my days. There is nothing in this world you could do to me to make me forget this, no matter how much I want to, because you cannot unsee the damage done to your child. I cannot unsee having to search for my child when she absconded from my parents' backyard and then find her running down the middle of a busy street surrounded by cars beeping their horns and yelling at her to get off the road because she has no sense of danger. I cannot unsee waking up in the early hours of the morning to see my other daughter covered head to toe in her own feces that she ate while smearing it all over the walls. I cannot unsee my son trying so hard to speak so that he could play with the other children in the playground, but all he could do was scream till they ran away. I cannot unsee the vast difference in health between my vaccinated and unvaccinated children and not know that this is my fault. There is nothing you could do that would ever make me vaccinate them again. I would rather die than see them be hurt. Luckily, I have found that there is a better way to raise healthy children, and my children have thrived because of it. It's called taking responsibility for the health of your own children, learning how to naturally support and boost their immune systems, and not expect other parents to put their healthy children at risk of injury or death just because you believe that will protect yours. You want to know the most important reason why I and many other parents don't vaccinate their child? We do it because we love them, just like you love your child, and no amount of legislation or shaming tactics will ever overcome that. Very important points made in that article, folks. The vilification of people who choose not to vaccinate in our society has become rampant. It has become quite extreme. We saw what happened with Sheree Tenpenny, and I did cover that on the show quite extensively. The threats, the nastiness on a general level. And of course, we know this is orchestrated. We know that behind all this, there is actually money being spent. It's going through channels, it's hidden, it's never going to be directly linked. These people know how to cover their tracks, right? But they set up organizations. Like, there's this organization called the Stop the AVN, Stop the Australian Vaccination Network. The AVN is a pro-vaccine choice website run by Merrill Dorey, which it doesn't have a rabid anti-vaccine stance. It just wants to present all the information to help people make a decision. But rabid is a good word to describe the Stop the AVN movement. Just the way they talk, if you go onto their Facebook page, which I've been on a few times and I removed myself because it was just too offensive, they are actually nasty people. They're classic fascists, really. I mean, fascism as a political movement was something that kind of harnessed aspects of society where a lot of people who were marginalized and disenfranchised had a lot of anger. And fascism was used to kind of give them something to rally around and also gave them a focus for their hatred and anger, which was used by the powers that be to sort of build their power while also crushing minorities that they didn't like. So it is very real and accurate to describe these people as fascists. I'm not just using the word lightly. They appear to be people who have some chip on their shoulder. They are people who are carrying a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, and they come together in an organization like Stop the AVN, which has been set up for them, and there are aspects of that that I think need to be investigated. But then this becomes a vehicle for them to spew their hatred. We're just going to break, and we'll be back in the next segment with Bronwyn Hancock. Don't go away. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I have on the line today Bronwyn Hancock, a regular contributor to this show who hasn't been on for a while. Bronwyn, welcome back to Truth News Radio.
Thank you for having me, Herewood.
It is a great pleasure to have you on. Now, I have been in the previous segments ranting about Australia's vaccine situation and really trying to drive home the point that we have an extreme situation here with our country. We really have to try and take back democracy and freedom. And I'm so glad to find that you, Bronwyn, have led the charge by organising this Australia-wide protest. So tell us everything you can about it. Thanks.
I'm assisting with the organisation, but I can't claim credit for being the lead organiser.
Fine. Yeah. Well, we all have to do what we do. Is there a lead organiser? Is there actually one person who started it all, or did it just organically happen?
Well, the host. Well, it's parents that yes. Who have started it. I don't know. I could give you their names, but wouldn't be familiar to you. Yeah. They're ones that I've only met recently. So. Because naturally it most affects parents who have the young children and who have young children at the moment. And I think, you know, a few years ago they wouldn't have given any thought. In fact, many of them were not even aware about the dangers of vaccines until they became pregnant, or in many cases, sadly, after their children already started suffering damage from the vaccines.
Yes, and of course parents are the ones now who, the ones who are aware, are the ones who are most likely to be interested in doing something about it. But of course, the problem really affects all of us, doesn't it? It affects us in a very fundamental way.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the government is allowed to effectively take control, ownership of children's bodies in this direct physical way, being allowed to cause them to be injected invasively, well, any injection is invasive, but to the extent of a way that can cause damage invasively, especially when you're talking about ingredients such as foreign DNA, which can be incorporated to the recipient's DNA, and contaminant animal viruses. So just very dangerous ingredients being injected.
And of course, I tried to explain in the previous segment that the way it's being done in Australia is... it's very close to really being a gun to the head. It's not literally a gun to the head, but financially, the removal or the denial of the family tax benefit is going to have an impossible effect on people, really, because that family tax benefit is really necessary, isn't it?
For many parents, families, it is necessary, absolutely. I mean, now any kind of burden whatsoever is something along the line, somewhere between complete freedom and no freedom at all.
Yes.
And the minister says, "Oh, parents still have a choice," but it's a continuum. You can have a little bit of choice, but it, as you go along the continuum, that it gets reduced and reduced and reduced. Until you reach the other extreme, where your choice is either have a gun at your head and
your life becomes untenable.
Say or we shoot you. You still have a choice. It's burdened, and any form of burden is a degree of compulsion, and in 1946 there was a referendum as a result of which the people voted yes to actually people usually vote no in referendums, but they did vote yes on this occasion, or permitting the federal government to provide amongst many other things, provide medical services. Now, provision of medical services and compulsion of medical services are two very different things.
Indeed.
In the Constitution makes it very clear, and the High Court interprets it this way also, that unless a government is given power expressly, so it's a direct, explicit granting of power, then it's not granted the power. It needs to be given in express terms. So you can't just have some, if there's some vague word, then you just try to interpret it as widely as possible so they can say, yep, we have that power, and take advantage of a vague word. No, it has to be given very expressly.
Yes.
And of course, it's not given expressly if you just say to the government that they're allowed to provide medical services. That's not authorising them to compel them.
Medical services.
Appropriately, the High Court has ruled along the lines, as I said, for example, in the British Medical Association versus Commonwealth in 1949, the High Court of Australia ruled, and I quote, compulsion, meaning of medical services, to any extent or of any nature, whether legal or by the imposition of penalties, or practical by any other means, direct or indirect, could not be authorised.
Very clear.
And
but of course, there's grey areas that have been introduced as a result of legislation about child protection and about the powers given to child protection authorities, which a lot of people kind of agree with because they think, you know, a lot of parents are going to be neglectful. Some parents are neglectful. Some parents don't take care of their children. And so the government has to have some powers to deal with that. Mm. Now, of course, this then provides a grey area for things like vaccines to be brought in as, well, you know, you didn't get your child vaccinated, therefore, you know, you've neglected your child. And of course, this there's many precedents now for this in Australia as well, aren't there?
I'm not really aware of it with respect to child protection.
Well, I'm aware of several. I'm aware of one case where there was a couple who went to the hospital and they had a baby. They had a newborn baby. And basically, because the mother was a carrier of
the hepatitis B one.
Yes. And the doctor said, well, we think that the baby should have this vaccine. The parents were conscientious objectors. They didn't want to have the vaccine. The hospital then contacted Department of Community Services.
Yes.
And
true.
That's one case I know of. So some of the other cases I know of are not specifically about vaccines, but they're so similar that they may as well be vaccines. They're just about cases where parents haven't agreed to give their children certain treatments that a doctor recommended, even when another doctor might have recommended something different.
Cancer, there's a lot of control over the in respect to the treatment of cancer.
Yes.
Cancer is a very big industry, and I know personally a family who was a victim of this, where their daughter, that's Sarah. It was written about in the book called Sarah's Last Wish,
yes.
Which Sarah Wesley developed ovarian cancer. And the parents naively mentioned to the hospital that they were giving her alternative treatments. And next thing you know, the child protection services, you know, came in, and the child was seized and given chemotherapy, and she was really actually doing well with the alternative therapies. But once she received the
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm just getting cut off there by the music. Sorry, I have problems with my levels sometimes with the background music. We are just going to break. I'm talking to Bronwyn Hancock.
Right.
And Bronwyn, I'll bring you right back in after the break. We'll be with Bronwyn for one more segment. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Stay with us.
Happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm talking today to Bronwyn Hancock, a pro-vaccine choice activist who is involved in Australia-wide protest, which is going to take place next Sunday. That will be Sunday the 21st.
Yeah.
June. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Bronwyn.
In state capitals around Australia. So, and Canberra. So we have Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Canberra, Adelaide, Perth, and in Tasmania we have Launceston.
Absolutely.
And, yes.
And look, everyone who respects the basic principles of democracy and freedom needs to get behind this. You may be a supporter of vaccines. Now, that's fine, because tell you what, I respect your choices. If you think that it's worth the risk of taking vaccines, and tell me your take on this, Bronwyn. I mean, like, you know, if there are people out there who've done the research and they think, well, I want to get this vaccine, we don't have a problem with that, do we?
Absolutely not. That's the point is, it's so important for it to be parents' choice.
Yes.
It's traditionally been in parents that common law, and I quote the again, quote the High Court here, open quote, supported by strong sociological, psychological and administrative considerations, has vested such authority and responsibility, close quote, to make choices for the child, because parents most reliably, and I quote again, possess a moral duty to protect the child and are therefore likely to have the child's best interests in mind, close quote. And so there are multiple reasons why it's vital in a democracy that that children, decisions for children be made by their parents. And
yes.
They have a moral interest, I think it's just self-evident,
yes.
And a financial interest. It's the most, it's the safest from corrupting influences.
Indeed, and look, we all know that people can make mistakes. No one is immune from making a mistake. A parent may make a mistake. And that is something we have to live with, by the way, you know, because the alternative to that is the nanny state approach, where you say, well, we just can't let people, you know, we can't take the risk that someone individual will make a mistake. We'll let the state make all the decisions. But that is such a ludicrous position to take, because it assumes that the state won't make a mistake, or even worse, that the state will not be corrupted in various ways to have things done for financial interests, which goes beyond simply making a mistake, which a well-intentioned parent might do by, say, choosing the wrong therapy. This is then open to very, very wicked, corrupt, evil practices where people can benefit financially from influencing government policy. So the potential for mistakes is vastly increased.
Yeah, look, right throughout history, governments have let down their people. And, I mean, look, to start off with, look at knowledge. Now, ignoring any corruption for the time being, let's look at knowledge. Now, what sense does it make to say, okay, to have more trust in the knowledge of the the person who happens to be the Prime Minister or the Minister for Social Service, etc., how can they be expected to have a greater knowledge about vaccination than the average parent? They're politicians. They're very busy doing their politician work.
Yes.
What makes them more of an expert?
Yes.
And now, and that's just from a knowledge point of view alone. But then you look at the vested interests. We live in a world which is, well, governments have always been subject to the vested interests, because whenever you have any powerful entity, they vested interests will come along to that powerful entity, and they will do everything they can to corrupt it and offer incentives for those that powerful entity to do its bidding. And that's going to be all the more the case when the vested interests around are going to be these enormous global corporations with huge amounts of money and power and influence. Now, who wants to trust a government with politicians out? And yes. Since when have politicians become trustworthy anyway?
And remember, we are funding these global cartels. We are funding these global mega corporations directly through the Medicare levy, which is a huge amount of money every year taken out of our taxes. And so we are paying for this whole system. And then we're paying for it, and we're being forced. We're not even being given choice about what it is we will use from that system. Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, look, you know, this is the heart of sovereignty. And as the Constitution states, you know, as and should be, of course, in the case of any democracy, is that the what the truth is, the supreme and supreme, absolute and uncontrollable authority remains with the people, and absolutely fundamentally important. And if the government gets away with enacting legislation such as this, and it survives a high court challenge, whereby it's effectively literally forcing some parents to allow all these toxic substances to be injected into their child against their will. Gosh, you know, yeah. We're in for a very dark road.
Where will it end? This is what I've been trying to explain to people, is that it will not stop there. You know, people don't look at history. They don't learn from history. This is the sad thing, Bronwyn. And it never stops at one point. The Jews in Germany thought, you know, we'll just go along with these changes. We'll go along with not being able to have jobs in universities. We'll go along with having to wear the Star of David, because they kept thinking, oh, it'll stop there. It'll stop there. And you know what? It never does, because it is a roller coaster. Because once this kind of like snowball effect of the intoxication of power of government takes off, it cannot end until a catastrophe happens. That seems to be my understanding of the way history works.
Yep, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And any entity in power, when they do have the power, they're like a hungry animal. They're always looking for ways to get more and more power, and using the power they already have to get more. And that's a classic situation here, because the group in the community that will be affected here are struggling families who are financially dependent, because the government said, well, we're happy to do something to increase vaccination rates, and our corporate friends will be very happy.
Yes.
And I think, well, how can we do this? And I think, oh, well, you know, it's a bit difficult with the wealthy in the society, because they're financially independent, even though in theory, if there's any risk from vaccinated children, their children should be posing just as much risk as a poor person's child. But the poor are the vulnerable power-wise, because when you have a group of people that is financially dependent upon the government for their survival or close to that, the government is then able to say, or is trying to say, what they're effectively they're abusing their power, because they're saying, okay, well, yeah, okay, we're happy to keep providing these benefits to you, but oh, just a week, it's going to add a little catch here, that you've got to allow this to happen if you want to get this money. So they're just so it's an abuse of power to get even more power.
And these abuses of power, if I just interject, these abuses of power are part of a broad spectrum of abuses of power that we're seeing in our government, and this is totally part of a whole lot of other stuff that we're all aware of, that civil liberties groups are aware of, such as data retention laws, the government granting massive new powers to ASIO, making it illegal to even talk about a secret operation, you go to jail for 20 years. And this type of just arrogation of more and more power to the government, suppressing people's rights, criminalizing any dissent, is all part of a pattern. Now, unfortunately,
enforcing secrecy,
allowing the government to have secrecy, but then not allowing us to have any privacy, all this type of thing. But it all needs to be brought together. Organisations like the Australian Civil Liberties Union need to understand how vaccination and all the other civil rights issues are all interconnected. And at the moment, they don't. They have a complete blind spot on it. Even the Greens, people like that, who have championed some things about individual freedom, basically have giant blind spots. And we really need to bring it all together.
Yep. It's just getting worse and worse and worse over the time, and little is being done about it, and it's you just wonder how far it's going to have to reach before people start waking up.
Now, Brian, we're just almost at the end of the hour. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but can we just quickly get from you how does someone join the protests? What can they do? What's the quickest way to find out information? Is it Facebook?
Is it start?
Oh, sorry, I've got the music coming in there. It's a little strong. Okay. Can you hear me, Bronwyn?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, please continue.
Okay, what's the easiest way to get involved? Facebook. If they type in Facebook, no jam, no play, no way. And in fact, if they type Sydney, so no jam, no pay, no way, Sydney, then they find the Sydney event, and then with the Sydney event, they can find a link to the other state capitals events as well. So that's a
good start. Okay, we are at the end of the hour. I'm so sorry. We're at the end of the hour. Bronwyn, it's been great having you on. We'll continue this. See you next week. Thanks, Bronwyn.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Okay, bye.